Tonight on Arena, Tara Erocht and Barry Douglas on their upcoming live streaming concerts from the National Concert Hall. And 40 years on, we remember Ian Curtis and Joy Division. #51551 is the text. You can tweet the programme at RTE Arena. Of all the art forms, perhaps it's the world of the performing arts that has been particularly hard hit these days, when the idea of bringing a live audience into a shared space with musicians, actors or performers is, for the time being anyway, totally unthinkable. As a result, the National Concert Hall in Dublin has come up with a plan to host a quartet of concerts live online every Friday evening from May the 29th through until June the 19th. To an empty auditorium. First up will be mezzo-soprano Tara Erocht with Deirdre Collins accompanying on piano. Then Bell X1 frontman Paul Noonan is there on June the 5th. Singer-songwriter Lisa O'Neill will be there on June the 12th. And the closing event is with pianist Barry Douglas. And I would guess that this will be pretty much the first time that either Barry Douglas or Tara Erocht, apart from rehearsing, has played to a totally empty National Concert Hall. But I'm delighted that they're both joining me on the line this evening. Let's start with you, Tara. Where are you holed up for lockdown? Where are you this evening?
Good evening, Sean. How are you? Luckily for me, I'm back in Dundalk, out in Ravensdale, happy at home.
And how are you finding just being there and not being able to perform apart from this upcoming gig?
Well, I mean, obviously it was a big shock for me because I was in New York and had opening night of Cenerentola on the 12th of March. We had all the rehearsals and we had a great dress rehearsal. And at lunchtime on the day of the premiere, the day of the opening night, they cancelled. They closed the city and asked us to leave the country as soon as possible to go home. So it was a big shock to the system, but I was very lucky that my family were in New York, so I wasn't alone and we all came home together, and we then had to isolate here for the 2 weeks and everything. But again, really very lucky that I got to come home and that I wasn't on a contract somewhere where I got stuck, you know.
But pretty devastating, I would have thought, to be so close to actually performing it. And incidentally, I saw you in the Irish National Opera production of La Cenerentola, and it was brilliant, and you were brilliant in it. So it must have been very exciting for you, and then devastating at the same time. I know all the lovely stuff of having family and being able to get home, that's great, but on a professional level, huge disappointment.
It was indeed, yeah. I mean, it's 5 years ago since I signed the contract for that. So it's been something that was in the pipeline for a very long period of time. And a beautiful production and a really great cast. You know, we'd had an amazing 4 weeks rehearsals. And it's heartbreaking that we didn't get to bring it to the public because it was really special. You know, but we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat.
And I suppose being well and safe and home is, in the bigger picture, is obviously by far the more important things. Barry Douglas, you were actually on the road, Barry, I believe, on tour when the lockdown came. Where were you and what happened?
Good evening, Sean. Look, it was incredible because we could feel the rumblings of something happening, not just from the news, but the theatre director where we were playing, Camerata Ireland, and I, we were doing the complete Beethoven piano concertos on March 8 and 9. He was saying, we're really lucky that the concerts are going ahead tonight and tomorrow, because I think by next weekend, this theatre will be shut. It was the Opera Royale at Versailles. And sure enough, he shut the theatre down, and then our concert in Spain a couple of days later was cancelled, and Spain was really going through a lot of problems. It was horrible what was happening there at the time. And so I stayed on for a few more days with my wife, and then we just came back to Ireland, and we've been here ever since, gardening and cooking.
A lot of that going on, I think, all around the country. But I suppose for you, Barry, you know, Tara was talking there about she had family near her. It was just her and family. They got out of America and they got home, and that was great. You had to think about the welfare and the well-being and the travelling arrangements for an entire orchestra. That must have been hugely stressful at the time.
Well, we have excellent managers at the orchestra who made sure that everybody was safe. And our French agent, Ian Malcolm, there in France was very, very helpful. And everybody got away. The second concert was on a Sunday afternoon. So everybody got out that night from Charles de Gaulle back to Ireland or wherever they were going. So it was
now,
okay.
I was saying in my introduction, I think apart from rehearsing in the National Concert Hall, I'd be pretty certain that this is the first time either you or Tara will be playing to a totally empty concert hall, nobody in the seats. Maybe there might be one or two people from management, or maybe some family might be able to sit in a seat or two very far apart, perhaps. How can you even get your head around, Barry, the idea that you will sit on the concert hall stage and essentially, in terms of who's there, play to nobody?
It's a very eerie proposition, I have to agree with you. It's because, I mean, apart from rehearsing, apart from making, of course, recordings, which are done in empty theatres and empty concert halls often, this is supposed to be live. It is live, but it's live on the internet. So you have to try and imagine all the people sitting at home, and just knowing that they're sitting there listening, then you have to give it your all. But the problem is you don't get the feedback because, you know, it's not just applause. It's the atmosphere as you're playing, you know, which is so important, and that'll be missing.
Yeah, because I know that I heard something today on the radio about the German Bundesliga, where in some cases, in some stadia, I think they either debated or possibly even put in some Atmos on the television for people, you know, the sound of a crowd cheering or the sound of whatever it was, cheering when a goal came. But it was false. It was like canned laughter in a sitcom. I guess, Tara, what they would have to put in for a concert in the concert hall would be somebody coughing during a really quiet moment of a song and then somebody's phone going off. Those would be useful things, wouldn't they?
War. I mean, one thing that I think we can get from this that the audience don't ever get to experience is sometimes in a rehearsal when we're still alone and the hall is empty, you can really have these quite intimate and exciting musical moments that kind of are generated from the acoustic in an empty hall. And it's something that I'm kind of happy to explore. You know, I'm somebody who feeds off the public. Really, I mean, I never can sing anything the same twice because I really react on the energy I get from the audience. And when spoke with Dervla when the idea came about first, and like we have had some really brilliant musical moments also alone, but that step only ever happens when you go on stage. You know, and we're so blessed to have a facility like the National Concert Hall in Dublin with this really incredible acoustic that I'm also kind of glad that people are going to get the opportunity to hear what that sounds like, you know, in the empty space, because it's something very intimate to us that we never get to share. So, you know, that's a small positive in these times.
And I guess also, Barry, you were saying that, yes, in the case of a recording, you possibly would be playing to an empty concert hall. Yeah, there'd be technicians and people moving around the place and all sorts of things. But if something goes wrong, you can say, oh, stop, can I take that again? you will have the pressure of the live performance. You won't be able to say, oh, stop, I'll start that again if you don't mind. You know, you can't really. So there is that live attention, if you like.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm just going over and over in my head about how I'm going to handle this, because I have to just really make sure that my brain knows that there's a live audience there and it's not me having a bit of a practice. But I was thinking of bringing along my applause button, you know, the canned applause, you know, for the end of the piece. As Tara said correctly, she's so right that this is really one of the most special halls in the world. And to be able to wallow in its space and its acoustic is a real pleasure for us.
Yeah, and as Tara said as well, we, the audience, will then get to share that reality that we wouldn't normally get to share at all. The idea of it's just you, as opposed to coming directly into our sitting rooms or our homes or wherever we're watching and listening. But now I want to start the row between the two of you, because it's about how you chose the various pieces that you were going to play. And I know that Tara had a real yen on her to sing a specific song, but Barry Douglas is going to play that specific song. So let's listen to Barry Douglas playing a very well-known Irish tune, first of all. Go, Barry Douglas in a recording there with the opening section of an arrangement of My Lagan Love. Was that what stopped you choosing to sing it, Tara Aracht?
I mean, it's so interesting. When I got the phone call and we spoke about it, with the concert hall. And I usually, when you get an invitation for a recital, the promoter has a theme, or there's a theme of the season, or, you know, there's kind of a boundary within where you must plan your program. And this was wide open, blank sheet, anything you want. And I, of course, wanted to know who else was going to be there. But before I said anything, I said, oh, God, I've always wanted to do something like My Lag and Love in the Empty Hall. And then once they said Barry's name, I thought, oh, my goodness, it's a signature piece. I mean, come on, I can't do that.
So you...
but I mean, it's a beautiful thing to be given a blank sheet.
Yeah.
First of all, that they trust us enough to do that. It's madness and wonderful at the same time. Obviously, I sing in all sorts of different languages. So when you're trying to pick a program of, you know, great stories or beautiful colours or beautiful poetry, of course, you also have to add in Irish music. We are so blessed with a wealth of incredible musical heritage in this country that, to be honest, it was hard to just cut it down to an hour. You know?
Well, I suppose, and if I know anything about you, Barry Douglas, the gentleman in you would have stepped aside immediately had you thought that Tara had that in her mind at all. But please don't do that on air now. I don't want to cause all sorts of difficulties. But I know, it kind of suggests to me, is it time for us to hear Barry playing and Tara singing together at some point that very song?
There you go.
What a wonderful idea.
Yeah, I think I may come back to both of you on that at a later point. But Barry, how then did you go about choosing? As Tara said, this, you know, the empty slate, the blank page, off you go, choose what you want. How did you, what kind of guidelines did you give to yourself?
You know, when you get an empty slate, as you say, like that, from the concert hall, it's actually really tough to choose music because you can do anything you want. And as Tara was saying, you know, to narrow your choices is really tough. But I wanted to do something that was rich in colour and a lot of variety. My original idea was not to have any Irish music because I know there are also others who are going to be performing traditional music. And so then I went for a walk and I came back and I said, well, I've got to do a couple of Irish pieces. And so I chose My Lag and Love and Carrickfergus. But it's just, you know, there's a piece by Schubert, a set of six pieces called Moment Musical, Musical Moments. And then there's also one by Rachmaninoff. And so I thought I've got to do these little musical moments because it's kind of splashes of colour and it'll work so well in the concert hall. And so that kind of just built up the programme. And then I thought I've got to finish with a bang. So pictures at an exhibition by Mussorgsky, I thought would do the trick.
Certainly do that. I'm so glad that you didn't choose one of the Schubert songs that Tara had chosen for her recital. But Schubert is kind of perfect for this in some ways, Tara, because, you know, it really is. There's a chamber music quality to it. And even though you'll be in the big hall, you will actually be sending it directly into people's homes, directly into people's, you know, their headphones. It's a very intimate style of song that Schubert often gives us.
It is indeed. And I mean, for me, obviously, I have three kind of main platforms. There's opera, symphony work, or recital with piano. And recital with piano is the most intimate thing I can offer because it is really a chamber music setting. Mm. And yet the third member of that chamber music group is the audience. And it's a very kind of vulnerable thing, again, just to have the voice and piano. But Schubert wrote these incredible, incredible colours. So even when you don't know any of the text, he wrote colours in such a way that you can guess, you know, I mean, you feel it in your gut. And I think there's such, I mean, the array of Lieder he wrote, it was incredible, you know, and I just had to dip in and pick three real top hit favourites of mine. And actually all songs that I had learned with Ronnie when I was still studying in Dublin.
Ronnie Dunn,
with Veronica Dunn. And timeless classics, you know, and I think our poor hurting world is in a place at the moment where we need to remind ourselves that we can have a still moment, still full of beautiful, simple colour. It's right in front of us. It's vulnerable and, you know, and the voice has to really carry it. But I think Schubert offers us that.
Right. Well, listen, I'm going to finish up by playing one of those Schubert pieces. But first of all, before I do that, let me thank both yourself, Tara, and yourself, Barry Douglas, for joining us this evening. And I'm really looking forward to both of the concerts, because I really miss the concert hall on a Friday night. Sure. So it'll be lovely to have it coming into the bedroom where I am right now. It'll be coming into me straight after the programme on those Friday evenings. But thanks for joining us this evening, Barry Douglas and Tara Arocht. And we'll finish up. Tara is, as she said, performing three Schubert pieces. I'm going to play one of those now, Nacht und Trauma. And it features, in fact, Tara herself, accompanied by the pianist who will be performing with her on the evening, Dervla Collins. There with the performance of Schubert's Nacht und Trauma, one of the songs that she will be performing as part of the NCH live stream series, which begins on Friday the 29th of May. Incidentally, as well as the performances themselves, our colleague John Kelly will be doing a Zoom interview with the various performers as well. So that'll be an added dimension for you to enjoy on the evenings. Starts, as I said, on Friday the 29th of May. Concerts to be streamed live in front of that empty NCH National Concert Hall, but they'll be available worldwide to view on the National Concert Hall YouTube channel, on Facebook, and also on rte.ie. You can find out full details on nch.ie.